As we continue in a series on the church, we want to understand always that the doctrines that we preach, and with the help of the Heidelberg Catechism, which has a question and answer on the church, that these doctrines in this catechism are rooted four square on the Word of God. And so we turn to 2 Corinthians 12 at this time. 2 Corinthians 12 to find our grounding or mooring in the gospel of grace and of the church in this section of Holy Writ, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or whether out of the body I do not know, God knows. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I do not know, God knows, how he is caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast, except in my infirmities. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth. But I refrain lest any one should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. I have become a fool in boasting. You have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended by you. For in nothing was I behind the most eminent apostles, though I am nothing. Truly the signs of an apostle were accomplished among you, with all perseverance and signs and wonders and mighty deeds. For what is it in which you were inferior to other churches, except that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong. Now, for the third time, I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I do not seek yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for your souls, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I am loved. But be that as it may, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you by cunning. Did I take advantage of you by any of those whom I sent to you? I urged Titus and sent our brother with him. Did Titus take advantage of you? Did we not walk in the same spirit? Did we not walk in the same steps? Again, do you think that we excuse ourselves to you? We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, beloved, for your edification. For I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I wish, and that I shall be found by you such as you do not wish, lest there be contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, backbitings, whisperings, conceits, tumults, lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and I shall mourn for many who have sinned before and have not repented of the uncleanness, fornication, and lewdness which they have practiced." Thus far we read the Holy Word of God, beloved, this word on which we would meditate, and other words from the Bible on which we would meditate as we expound the biblical doctrine of the church. We confess here that, and we confess with the church of all ages, "I believe in holy Catholic Church." Our confession, beloved, is that I believe this church to be a work of God. I believe her glorious nature and her virtues. I believe her certain election and gathering. I believe her unparalleled unity, and her unmistakable marks. I believe the existence of such a church as we have heard declared in the preaching of the gospel in the last weeks. I believe the existence of such a church, and I believe that glorious things of her are spoken because I believe in God, and we believe in God, and the church believes in the God who saves, and when he does, he saves and makes a church. We believe, therefore, and we thank God, and we take it as our great privilege to be members of the Church of God visible on this earth, as well as members of the Church of Jesus Christ that is invisible from every nation, tribe, and tongue. Now, beloved, we want to focus, as we always do, in our belief in God here, even as we speak to the matter of the church. But from this perspective, I believe that God is so great. We believe here, and we confess as Reformed believers, that God is so great that whatever he does is great. Therefore, we say, I believe in the greatness of God with respect to the church. We're saying, I believe that he makes a great thing. And that, in fact, as we could say in the common parlance, that the Church of Jesus Christ is the greatest success story of the living God on this earth. It's the great thing that he does, and the great way in which he would show his own glories off in the success, in the triumph, in the glories themselves of that which is called church. Now, so we're going to consider this morning this Church of Jesus Christ from this very important point of view, and that is the triumph of the church, or as I call it, the success of the church, or the glories of the church. This aspect of the church is perhaps the most misunderstood of all of the angles that one could look at the church. Many have such a strange notion of the success of Christians and the success of the church, the triumph of the gospel in and through us, and the triumph of the gospel in and through us as individuals and church. Many are so corrupted, in fact, by a false view, whether it's a health and wealth gospel and a health and wealth providing church. It doesn't make a difference. They're corrupted in this. But we ourselves need to be grounded in this. And as we go forward together as a congregation, God willing, in his good timing, we're organized, how we need to have our spiritual bearings correct in line with the Word of God. What is it that we're about? What motivates us? What is the key to the success of this congregation if we would be faithful to the Word of God and the God of his Word? And so we consider the success or the triumph of the church, and this in the light of something that's brought out by the apostle himself in 2 Corinthians 12, and that is the existence of thorns. And I am going to posit, beloved, that the apostle's having a thorn or two in his own life to keep him humble is there as an example for all of us to reflect upon, and something that's instructive for us. This is the way God is. When he makes us triumphant and successful and these people who have blessings from on high, he also gives us thorns, and he reminds us always that we are those who are bearing in our bodies the marks of the suffering, or the sufferings themselves of Jesus too. So we believe in the church, we believe in the God of the church, and we believe in the success or triumph of the church. And let's just muse upon these three things. First of all, what this success is. And then, secondly, that there's a strange way in which the church expresses her success. But then I'm going to consider the bold calling that we have to be successful, to be successful, be triumphant. And I know this language may startle some of us, and it sounds like successful businessmen. Is this a business seminar? No, this is a preaching of the gospel worship service, and we'll see what we mean by that presently. But first of all, success. What is this? What is the success of the church? And I want to lead you through what I would call seven surmisings on sacred success. Seven surmisings or thoughts on sacred success. I think we could add to that number. We could shrink that number down, but these will lead us into what God is doing when He makes a church and when He does a great thing on the earth in church. First of all, we have to remember here, you do, I do, we all do, that if we're going to talk about success, prosperity, blessing of the church, and how that goes in this earth, it has to be a success that God says is truly successful, truly blessing, truly triumph. So that's the first surmising. Success is success in God's sight. Otherwise, it's defeat or something else, but it's not biblical success. You see, then, as we go along and be church, we're not wanting to go along by the standards of men. That's my point in this point. We're not going to listen to gurus of corporate headquarters down the road and figure out how to be an Amway success story, or thinking perhaps that the three keys to a successful business are one location, two location, and three location, or whatever else are the keys to success that have been figured out today. We're not even going to measure ourselves by other churches and their supposed success, the size of their buildings, the numbers that they have. And we're not, you see, going to do anything here that God doesn't say we ought to be doing. We're going to keep from thinking upon success in human terms, in the terms that maybe the light of nature can lead us to think success upon. We want to think upon the light of heaven. And so we ask the question, what does the Bible say success is? But then, in connection with that point, we are here to be successful in God's sight. We want to remember that any success of the church is something that God does. Just what His work is. This is what we want to investigate as a congregation, as we are, as we move along. And in welcoming new members, we're inviting them to join us in the great search for the work of God in our midst and in light of the Word of God. We investigate, we examine God's own work in our midst, and we want to bring that work out somehow in preaching, in pastoring, in being God's people together. And in whatever programs we do, we want to see the work of God in this. But then, secondly, so the first point was success in God's sight. A second surmising is that this success must be spiritual and is spiritual. The successful church is spiritually successful. That is, she is this church that's blessed. And she is a blessing. And she's all about, well, what Peter says, or Paul does in Ephesians, are the spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. She's all about this people that has been liberated from, well, the guilt of sin and the debt of sin and the bondage of sin and the death of sin. That's the success of the church. She is this people that has this deliverance, and now she would be a conveyor of that deliverance. That is, a message bringer of the deliverance, and God through her would work salvation among the nations. It's amazing. This is the spiritual identity and success and triumph of the Church of Christ. She's saved. And she once was in bondage, now she's free. She once was dead, now she lives. And she once had no life, and now she has abundant life. And so she doesn't have to say to her young people, now you can have a church life here, but to really get a life, you got to go down the road because they have other things for you, and we can't provide that here. Oh, no. As a people of God, the great success of the church is that she has now life abundant. Life, spiritual life, abundant with God. Well, that briefly is the blessings of the gospel expounded there. But now, thirdly, I want to say to you and remind you that this is incomparable, this success story. The good news is incomparable, isn't it? As we read of all the bad news in the Grand Rapids Press, or hear all of the good news even, let's not be taken up in either the bad news of the world or the good news of the world as if this was the greatest thing on the earth, this good news that happened, and now this thing that happened in the other part of the world. It's here, beloved. It's here revealed in the Word of God. It's here before our very eyes. God's own success story in sinners being gathered to Himself, in people being directed and corrected and uplifted in their way. This is where it's at. And there's power from heaven that's unleashed in here in the preaching of the gospel, which is mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And sinners are liberated, and there's this birth from above as the Spirit works with the Word of God and quickens that deadness in Adam and makes it live all. And as the people goes out in the world and witnesses to this, and the Word of God has its way, that's success. That's triumph. Oh, there's lots of stories of earthly successes, isn't there? And they're kind of heartwarming, aren't they? Rags to riches. We read of those stories. People who win Grammy Awards or 3 gold medals or hit 3,000 hits. It's kind of heartwarming. Sometimes you shed a tear. This is a success there in an earthly way. And a person who worked very hard and all this stuff, but no, beloved. Let's think, and this is maybe what church is especially for. Every Sunday we need this. Back to reality. Back to reality. You have the good, you have the middle, you have the bad in life, and now hold that there and think about what God speaks to us here is the incomparable greatness of His salvation and His work of God saving us. We've gone from the rags of depravity, haven't we, to the greatest wealth of the soul here. Last I knew, I was that rich. You were that rich. Wealth of the soul is what has been given to you. And this is, the Bible says, this going from the rags of depravity and being an outcast of the society and kingdom of God into the fellowship of God. This is what the Bible says is greater than gaining the whole world. And Jesus even warns the people, what? You gain the whole world. So what? And you gain all the friends that you so hanker for and all the esteem. So what? If you lose your soul. Wow. Wow, we have a wonderful Savior. People of God, they have all the power. Jesus Christ is the one to whom is given all the power and authority. And He gives this to the people of God as they exercise the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And they have a word, and this word is in them, and they speak this word. And the word is such a power that sinners must go to the right or to the left. Because they're meeting with God when they meet with you. And the wisdom of God is here. And you think the wedding of nobility far away across the pond was something? Beloved, last I knew, we are the nobility of the earth. The apostle, or the word of God, did not call the Bereans more noble than the Thessalonians for nothing when they searched the Scriptures to see that the apostles' words were true to the Word of God. They were more noble. We are incomparably more noble to princes and princesses and kings and queens of the earth. You read of earthly news of heroics, beloved, and the accomplishments of men. What does that compare to the good news of the grace of God? What do the doings of men compare with the church declaring the truth and saving souls and being salt and light of the earth? What, I say, Do the Forbes 500 compare to the 144,000 that God saves, the full number of the elect of God? Because they are bought with the precious price of Jesus Christ, and God has said, they are the ones who are worthy of my salvation through the blood of my Son. And we would envy the names in the list of the Forbes 500. What does it compare, ladies? Receiving 1,000,000 roses, none wilted, to receiving the rose of Sharon. What is hearing 1,000 symphonies compare to harmony with God? What is it, the poetry of Shakespeare compared to the sonnet of the gospel? 100 honeymoons compared to the love embrace of the living Christ. You see, it's incomparable. We do that, though, sometimes, don't we? We make these comparisons and move on, though. That's only the third point. I quickly go to the last four. Our success, of course, is in Jesus Christ. Our success is how God measures it. It's spiritual. It's incomparable. Those are three. Four, it's in Christ. Of course, this is what this church is all about. We've received Christ and we preach Christ and we're seeking to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God incarnate. It's about preaching His cross and His conquering sin and death. It's about His Spirit. It's about His Word. It's about His resurrection. And it's about living unto Him. This is what the Bible is all about, beloved. This light that now has flashed in the incarnation, in the fullness of the time. And nobody can deny this. The greatest glory, full of grace and truth, that's come in Jesus Christ. Move on. The success is seen. Something we have to remember. It's seen. If we just look, we'd see it. It's seen. The Apostle Paul speaks to us in 2 Corinthians 12 about the miracles that he did, beloved. But there's miracles that are occurring all the time, you know. We just have to look for them. There are the repentance miracles. And when sinners believe, miracles. And the daily conversion miracles. These are great things. They're divine things on our ground, in our lives. And it's seen in individual members and in marriages where there's reconciliation. When there's a resolution among two who are at enmity now to be friends. When there's this resolution on a hospital bed, I'm going to wait on the Lord to give healing. When there's a resolution among a people of God that we're here and the one goal that we have and that the steering committee has is to be faithful, that's from heaven. That's from heaven. So that the goal is not to have all the numbers and the goal is not to have all the flash. The goal is not to enlist some other person who can jumpstart us in a kind of business. It's to be faithful. That's divine. That's from heaven. While success is seen. And even sometimes in the turning away of people from the gospel. Do you know that? Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 2. Will thank God that he is always given to triumph. The gospel always triumphs. Even if it's a savor of death unto death. And also life unto life. It always triumphs. Because God is revealed as the God of justice and of mercy together. So, this is what we're seeing here and what we can see here and what we ought to see here. And then there's this all glory to God success. That's what the success of this church is and ought to be. We give all the glory to God. And then finally, this success is generally despised. That's the final point. It's generally despised. Leading into this point. What a strange way that the church is given to succeed or to show off the glories of the gospel. And I think, for example, this came to my mind this last week thinking upon this. It has throughout my years of ministry. I was thinking of thorns I was thinking of an apostle who, if you recall 2 Corinthians 12, is defending his ministry, defending his apostolicity, his authenticity. He's defending the fact that he's come from heaven, and there's others who are like wolves disguised as apostles who are coming and they're deceiving the flock. Paul, when he does this, speaks of great things that have happened to him. He's been saved. He's been honored to be an apostle. Not only that, he's been taken to heaven. First verses of 2 Corinthians 12, he went up to heaven. He received revelations that he can't even talk about now. He's not allowed to talk about. Earth cannot receive what Paul received in heaven. That's what he says. Later on, in verse 12, he'll say, truly the signs of an apostle were done among you. So he had heaven in his resume. I've been there. Imagine that. Isn't that a great thing to put on your resume? You qualify? Yeah, I've been to heaven. Wow. But miracles, verse 12, signs of an apostle were wrought among you. And so he's defending himself. Don't you see it? Heaven's come to you. These are the glories of heaven in and through me. But he also reminds the people of that which they were getting at. Thorns. He had a thorn. And in verse 7, he speaks of this. Lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations, the thorn in the flesh was given to you, messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Paul prays for this three times. God says, no, I'm not going to rid you of this. My grace is sufficient for you. Oh, beloved, here we have an apostle whose thorn was real and seemed to be an impediment to his ministry. That's why he was praying to be delivered of it. We don't know what it is. We don't know what this was, this thorn. Maybe some of you do, but I don't think we do. I don't think that there's a true and clear revelation about just what it was. It may have been a speech impediment. It may have been an eye problem. I don't know. But there was something about his earthly appearance and projection and ministry that made him not so hot among the popular ministers and so on. So that they'd rather have the seminary professor down the road or somebody else who could really fire the people up. But Paul, when he comes, he's so diminutive. There's something about him. Maybe a distortion. Maybe a humped back. I don't know. Who knows? But Paul thought it would get in the way. God said, no. In fact, it's the way. It's the way that I'm going to show myself off. My grace off. My power through you. You see that? And I believe, beloved, that's exactly what God gives to the church, to us individually, and to us as a people. First of all, he chooses not the high and the mighty. Paul will say that in 1 Corinthians 1. Not many mighty, not many wise among you. I just choose the foolish and the base things of the earth. We're not much, beloved, coming into this. We're just sinners saved by grace, and God plops us down. We're not of the Forbes 500, usually. We're not the rocket scientists, and not the wealthy, and not the popular, and so on. That's not usual. God chooses the base things of the earth. But then he gives us difficulties in life. And the apostle remembers infirmities, reproaches, needs, persecutions, distresses for Christ's sake, and so on. All these weaknesses. And my Bible tells me, beloved, and I think yours too, we have the same Bible, that this indeed is the lot of the people of God. All who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It is given to you, the book of Acts says, only by tribulation to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, Jesus says. And they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you, John 15. Now, how do you put this together? I believe, beloved, it's vital. If we're going to understand the triumph of the church, Christ's way, and the success of the church in a godly way, I think, beloved, it's exactly as the Apostle Paul says. It's for Christ's sake. His thorn was, our thorns are. our limitations are, our persecutions are, for Christ's sake. And I believe that God is saying to us, here's why, and here is really why. So that you can, in your success, be brought low and onto your knees and behold my Son and give all the glory to my Son. So then you're not going to get heady and start comparing yourself with the church down the road or the movers and the shakers in the White House. And you're not going to try to get things done that way either, politically, or join the church growth movement. And so you're going to simply bow before me. And still keep on keeping on, being faithful, bring in the Word of God. But behold how I'm going to work, and all are going to see me and not you in this whole thing. That's what we're here for, beloved, not to be seen. Not for our success to be seen as if we are the ones who are the authors of it. No, no. And that's why, as we think upon these thorns, and even though we've been to heaven, really, we've come to the Jerusalem that's above and we've been glorified principally by all the blessings, we're not going to let it in our heads. And we're not going to be envious that people down the road in the name of Christ even are seeming to be more influential than we are. Well, beloved, this is what we are called to do here. And remind you that that means that there is one thing we have to remember to be successful. And that is to believe that God is truly going to continue to bless us. It's all about not what you see. It's about what you know through faith. Earlier on, Paul urges the Corinthians to walk by faith and not by sight. He reminds the Corinthians that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. In chapter 5 and 4, he tells the Corinthians that there's all of these afflictions, but they're light compared to glory. He's dealing with the success and the thorns, duality. He's dealing with this church on the ground truth. We have to deal with that. And we must believe. We're here to believe. We're here to walk by faith as we walk out the door. We're here to have the Word of God that we believe, being our guide and being the interpreter of our conflicts and our successes and of the direction we should go. We must be those people, beloved, who hear this Word of God by the hearing of which comes faith, the strength of faith. You must participate in the sacraments, as Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. You're showing off my death until I come, and you're being confirmed in your faith. We're weak, we need this strength and these means of grace, and it's so very important. Early on, in another chapter, chapter 10, the Apostle Paul would say, yes, yes, it's this preaching that's so important. It's this preaching and then being preached to. So all together, we're all hearing from heaven today about God. And this, beloved, is how we're called to be successful. Hearing and believing and carrying on. And there's really no gimmick. There is no gimmick whatsoever. There's a warning that needs to be had, of course, and that is to avoid perverted success stories and going after them. You know, I think Job is all about that. It's a great warning. It's a great, wonderful picture of God's blessing, but also a great blessing in thorns. Remember, Job's wife cursed God and died. It's not supposed to be this way. It's not supposed to be this way, Job. You're a righteous man. You should have all of these good things in a good family and be prosperous and so on. It's not supposed to be this way. Then it's all taken away. Well, yes, it is supposed to be this way. Yes, it is. Note what the apostle says. I was given this thorn that I might not glory in myself. And no doubt Job was given all of these negatives in his life. Everything was taken away so that he might not glory in himself. And we, beloved, as we are given unto, and God is adding to us physically and in every way, we're reminded that we must be less, that He must be more. And truly believe and take to heart that we need Jesus, that He's our all, that His life is the life we want to live and show off and glorify. Nothing carnal, beloved. Let's not seek the success of the church so that we can become, you know, this maybe this Christian America. That'll be successful when the whole country, from the high and the low, we're all converted as if this was the will of God. Everybody, the face of the planet's converted and so on. One of the creeds of the church, the Reformed Church, calls this a Jewish dream. It would be this kind of success politically and so on. Let's keep away from that. And let's keep away from the zany tactics that people think are necessary to bring sinners in. God sent Jesus. Let's be as Jesus in this world. And let's give Him all the glory. Oh, beloved. Now that's successful. That's the Christian triumph. May God bless us to triumph in His name. Amen. Our Lord in heaven, oh, we pray that on this earth we may be successful for Your sake. Go about preaching and hearing and living the Christian life, giving You all the glory. Glad, Father, for Your blessing us so greatly, and never minimizing this fact that we are exceedingly blessed, and Lord, seeking to share, seeking to tell others of the success gospel story for sinners and all who believe. In Jesus' name, amen.